really interesting because he's not in that class in terms of being a high-end first-round pick. That's not how he's considered by the league. And so now they're broadening their search. And I wonder if they're broadening it because there might be some of that same disagreement, lack of consensus that Tom and I had off the very top of the show on J.J. McCarthy. And if they think, oh, the best thing for us, if we can't get settled on one guy at three overall, if we do end up trading back, now we're open to this second tier of quarterbacks, whether it's Michael Penix or Bo Nix or maybe even further down the line, Spencer Rattler, people like that.
Phil Perry last night on NBC Sports Boston. We're trying to make sense of why J.J. McCarthy and now Michael Penix have been visiting the Patriots the last couple of days. Like Jaden Daniels, Drake May, that's one thing. Even McCarthy, like, I get to a degree he's going to go in the top 4, 5, 6 picks, definitely in the top 10. Okay, fine. And I thought there was a smokescreen element to that. What about Michael Penix? Why is Michael Penix here? And as we found out from Ian Rappaport last night after the show, Penix had dinner with the Pats last night. Brass and coaches. What does that mean? Brass. GM? Wolf? Does it go above? Elliot
Robin
Wolf?
Glazer.
Does it go to Glazer? Does it go to Jonathan? Does it go to Robert? What does brass mean? And he has a top 30 visit today in New England. That's on the heels of the same thing with McCarthy. On Sunday night, he had dinner, visited yesterday. So what do we make of these visits? Are the Patriots actually gearing up for a trade back? It's our big question of the day up now at Jones and Mego. You can vote, as many of you have. At last check, it was a little over 52% said yes, the Patriots are considering trading back. Little under 48% said no. Those numbers have shifted, 51.5% to 48.5%. So still right around 50-50. About half of you think they will. About half of you think they won't. A slight majority assume they are moving back. I think the Patriots are locked in on Drake May at 3. That's how I've felt for a while. I don't think they're changing their mind less than 10 days from the draft. But Mego and Arcan, I know you guys disagree.
Well, you would have to accept that they definitely have their mind made up for them to change it, which I don't know that I completely accept, because we have gotten a lot of reports about how, hey, Elliot Wolf would really like to trade back and take a tackle. Hey, Elliot Wolf would really like to look at J.J. McCarthy. Like, there's never been the kind of reporting that we got from Adam Schefter 3 times across the last week about Jaden Daniels to Washington. Hey, go out and buy a jersey. We haven't heard anything like that for the Patriots about who they're taking at 3 or even what they're doing with that pick. And I agree with you. I think
that's not totally right, because in that same podcast, Schefter said May to New England, but it wasn't anywhere near as firm, and it wasn't go buy jerseys or anything like that. But he did say it.
Okay, so but do you take that more as a prediction or as he's telling you here's exactly what the pick's going
to
be?
I don't know. He hasn't predicted past 3 as far as I've heard in the podcast. So to me, he started with Caleb Williams weeks ago. He shifted to Jaden Daniels, and he gave you a little hint about Drake May, and I think he's being judicious about leaking out what he knows, but I think if anybody knows, it's Schefter. And I've said that about what Washington is doing at 2, what Chicago's doing at 1, I'd say it about the Pats at 3. I just refuse to believe 9 days away from the draft, they don't know what they're doing.
I'd like them to know,
and
Jones.
If they don't, then that really is like the smoking gun to this thing is a disaster, because they didn't know what they were doing in free agency. They didn't know what they were doing with their coaching hires. I don't really know that if they have made up a decision yet on Elliot Wolf and if he's the GM moving forward. So that would really, really be a red flag. But to your point, they haven't been prepared for other stuff.
I understand what you're saying, but you're presenting it as if it's because they're disorganized and they're lacking conviction in the pick and that they need to be in love with one guy. That's ideally how I would like them to go about it. But I also understand if there's guys in the front office who are saying, hey, like, we need to do due diligence and we need to make sure that the two guys that were interested, just at least moderately interested,
yeah,
in J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix, that if there's an opportunity where somebody presents us 4 first round picks or something ridiculous, like 3 days away from the draft, that we can look at it with full confidence and say Michael Penix is not worth it.
Sure.
To trade back and take.
I would ask who is pushing for that.
I bet like it's Elliot Wolf.
Okay, well, if it's Elliot Wolf, then he doesn't have conviction in who he's drafting. And so that would be a problem. And, you know, if it's like Robert Kraft saying, let's talk these things out, well, then that's one thing. If it's T.C. McCartney or some, you know, coach on the coaching staff, they shouldn't even have an opinion, in my estimation. This goes above them. So
but
I don't
Michael
want,
Penix
I don't
feels
want them
different.
Gumming up the works.
This feels like a different kind of dinner than what we were just talking about with J.J. McCarthy, right? Arcan,
yeah,
do you
I'd
agree with
so.
That?
I agree with that. I think that's there's something to that for sure. But I think the fact that there isn't a consensus here on May going to the Patriots tells me pretty much what I need to know about this situation. I don't think that the Patriots are dead set on Drake May the same way that Chicago is on Williams and the same way that Washington is on Daniels. It's different. It's just not there. They may end up drafting him when all is said and done, but I think that if they really wanted to just do some sort of big smokescreen and say, hey, you know, we're just trying to get the best pick, then they do what Washington did and say, yeah, we love May. May's our guy. You're going to have to really bowl us over to get us off of Drake May.
Maybe.
And they're not saying that. So
maybe.
I think they are open to trading back. Okay. I think this is something that they would do. And by the way, there's three teams right in the middle of the round who are desperate to move up. That's rare.
No one last year knew CJ Stroud was going to Houston. In fact, Houston did not make it clear at all that's who they were drafting. And so maybe that's because they were worried Carolina would change their mind at the last second. They like Stroud. They wanted him to drop the two. Most of the reporting was telling you they were going Bryce Young, but they did not want to reveal their plans. No one knew CJ Stroud was going to Houston. People did not know that. And so maybe the Patriots are doing that. Or maybe the Patriots don't know. But I don't believe at this hour they're considering a trade back. You agree with Mego on that?
Yeah, I do. Because in 2021, everybody thought Mac Jones was going to the Niners. And they never said, hey, we're going to get Mac Jones. This is our guy 100%. People just surmised that because they thought, oh, he's the national champion. He's the third best quarterback in the draft this year. They'll probably just go get him. And they all assumed that. And they had their eyes set on someone completely different. And I think that's more what you're looking at this year.
So this is where I think it gets tricky because obviously it's somebody different who's going to be making the final decision with what they're doing with the pick compared to when it was the Mac Jones offseason. I just look at it and I'm not sitting here saying that they're intending to trade back. Like, I don't want that to be misconstrued. And I see people on the text line saying, why would they announce who they're taking? I don't think I've ever said that they need to sit here and announce who they're taking. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is somebody in the front office is leaving the door open a crack to say, there is a possibility that if you come to us with four first-round picks or whatever their equivalent of that bag would be,
yeah, so I
we'll
think
at least listen
fine.
Because we're hosting Michael Penix here just to make sure that he's not a guy we can make work.
I think that's a waste of your top 30 picks, top 30 visits, rather. I think that's a waste. Maybe that's what they're doing, and I hope they're doing due diligence on Penix medically, but I also think that's a waste. So whatever this Penix visit is, I think is a waste. But they're doing it, and they're doing it for a reason. And my best guess is it's medical, but that's just a complete guess. You only get 30 of these. And if you want to say they're doing their due diligence, then you think there's due diligence to be done. That means you put stock in these visits. So they're important. On some level, they're important. You only get 30 of them. I wouldn't have wasted them on Penix, for sure. McCarthy, if you want to play the smokescreen game, fine. But that's still a waste of a visit, in my estimation. So what are they doing? Are they really considering a trade back? Tommy Curran highlighted some of what Penix brings to the table last night on Early Edition.
While there are aspects of his game that aren't delightful, including the injuries, including the relatively older age, he's 24 now and will be 24 as a rookie, there are elements of his game with the arm strength, the ability to just move the ball with a flick of his wrist, the leadership skills, the toughness. Now, when Jerod Mayo and Elliott Wolf discussed all the quarterback prospects, they talked about the toughness. And it's absolutely indispensable to have physical and mental resilience when they get here. So Penix, to me, if you end up trading down and getting Michael Penix and having artillery to fill wide receiver, offensive tackle, cornerback, edge, all those places or most of them, that's awesome. That's great. In many ways, the Patriots should not be able to go wrong in this draft. They can screw it up after the player gets here, but the player they select is going to be worthy of being an NFL starting quarterback.
Yeah, or they could overdraft them. Like, I don't really understand the last point, but we can ask Curran about that later on in the week. Physical toughness, mental toughness. Are they overdrafting that, potentially, in the case of J.J. McCarthy or Michael Penix? You can jump in, 617-779-7937. We're going to talk to Rob Bradford of WEEI about 20 minutes from now for his weekly appearance at 4:30. In the meantime, let's get to some phone calls. Ray is in Boston. Go ahead, Ray.
Hey, guys. I would just say don't sleep on this Penix kid. He's an awesome thrower of the ball. He's accurate, huge arm, moves around pretty well in the pocket. And just as a comparison, people are down on him because he played really poorly at Michigan. But don't forget, one of the best rookie prospects you've had in a while, the C.J. Stroud kid, got absolutely embarrassed by Michigan's defense.
Yeah, so he got shut down in the national title game. True. But in the semifinal, he was excellent. Who did he light up? Texas in that? He whooped up on Oregon a couple of different times this year. He outperformed Bo Nix in those games. And so, yeah, I think between the injuries, the age, he's old. I mean, for a prospect, he's old. He's going to be 24. and Drake May's 21 years old. I mean, that's a big difference between some of these top prospects. Although, you know, Bo Nix is super old. Jaden Daniels is sneaky old. So I think those things work against him. I also just think that last game lingers quite a bit. And so I like Penix. I have him fourth on my list. I would take him before McCarthy. I would take him certainly before Bo Nix. But I just have him below those three that I have grouped at the top, which means when you're drafting third, I'm not looking at Michael Penix.
I think he's all right. I honestly get so uncomfortable watching him play just because of the injuries.
Like, oh, that's
I,
why.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. No, I just am like, anytime that he goes down, I'm like, that's it. That's it.
It's not because he's left-handed. We've gotten a lot of that on the text line.
It's unnatural looking for sure, but three. You know what? Then you know what the counterpoint to that is so positive that perhaps the Patriots talk to him about is, hey, we don't need a left tackle. We've got a nice right tackle for you and Mike Unwenu.
Yeah, there you
okay?
go.
Okay? That's your blind side, buddy. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to read this text, 37937. Number one, I can't watch a lefty quarterback every week. Gross. Which I kind of like watching a lefty quarterback.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
You like watching
Michael
Tua
Vick
that
a lefty.
Way?
Look, I don't love Tua, but I'm not bothered that he's left-handed. I wasn't bothered that,
I think
you know,
that's what makes
Mark Brunell or Steve Young or anybody else.
So goofy.
You didn't like Steve Young?
I mean, I'm not going to compare Steve Young to Tua.
Okay, but do you like left-handed quarterbacks
lefty,
or not?
Yeah.
The question is lefty, not who the quarterback is.
I'm just saying
are.
I think Tua catches a lot of
Tebow
flack
really
for,
drags him down.
For how weird his throws look because he's lefty.
Tebow
if you're
help.
Left-handed, you're probably possessed by the devil.
That's true. I mean, that is working against you.
Boomer was a lefty, right? Boomer Esiason?
Is that right?
I think he was.
I don't know.
Possessed.
I think Boomer was a lefty.
Burn him.
Team lefty.
There's also this. Penix, as Mega was just saying, makes your best offensive lineman his blind side tackle. Could you imagine if that's what was dictating their whole thing?
He's so funny.
Hey, it's a way to save money. You don't have to spend on a big left tackle. You got your right tackle right here.
You imagine if that was just dictating
the right
all of their decisions?
Who, the right tackle who's actually a guard?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Right.
Good job.
Yeah.
Love that.
Right. Now Mike, all
and your
decisions,
left tackle is actually a fullback.
All decisions revolve around Mike Unwenu. Like, how pathetic would that be? Imagine if that's what they were doing.
You excited?
No. Joe's in Randolph. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, hi, everybody. Hi, in my opinion, whomever the Patriots select, it'll be the wrong guys because they never get anything right. And I got them penciled
right
in
show,
for one win this year. Why one win? Because even a blind squirrel finds a nut once a year.
Okay, Joe, thank you.
Joe, call back anytime.
One win.
What a great call.
One win. Can I just, because he brought this up, I wasn't really planning
over
on
over under, one half win.
I wasn't really planning on reading this.
Is a half win a tie?
Warren Sharp. I don't know. Over or under.
Right.
I know, but.
NFL strength of schedule for 2024, according to Warren Sharp. The Patriots have the second most difficult schedule.
They might
so
only
bad.
Win one game this year.
That's because they're so bad, though.
No, that's not why.
No,
it's because of the opponents on there.
Yeah.
The
strength
only,
of schedule is the opponent. It has nothing to do with them.
It's
their opponents.
The only team with a tougher schedule is Arkansas Steelers with Russell Wilson.
Okay. That's even with all the last place teams in the AFC that you're playing. Historically, you get all the first place teams because the Patriots are always first place.
It's, it's really only a couple. I think it's only two games on the schedule because you're playing an AFC conference, plus you're playing, or you were the last place team in the AFC East. But yeah, I mean, you're getting, while, you know, Buffalo's getting first place teams, you're getting last place teams, at least with the two divisions in the AFC they're not playing. But they have the second hardest schedule in the NFL. Over under half a win. You can jump in. 617-779-7937. If they're taking Marvin Harrison or J.J. McCarthy, or trading back and drafting Michael Penix, I might take the under. But if they're taking Drake May or Jaden Daniels drops to them at three, which I don't think is happening, then I feel pretty good about the Patriots improving on
about
last
over
year.
Half.
No, over them improving on last year's win total. I've said that a bunch. The absence of Bill and getting rid of Mac, I think you should be better this year. Not with McCarthy.
Five wins?
Improving on last year's win total. Will you
okay.
commit to that?
Five wins. Yeah. I think they'll
the
get over
the
four
over-un-
wins.
The over-under in Vegas is 4.5. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why. I'm taking the over on their win total, their actual released win total. I'm taking the over.
Unless you take someone who's inherently evil because they're left-handed.
617-779-7937. I agree with the Twitch chat. A lot of polls today. There are a lot of polls you can weigh in on Jones.
Okay, one of them has 700 votes right now.
And Mego with Arcand.
Don't poll
size
shame.
The way that the girl talks is melodramatic.
That's true.
Less than the official show poll. We'll get to Rob Bradford. He joins us next, right after Trending with Arcand.
Well, the critics have spoken.
It's as if you took a float from a Macy's Day Parade and you beheaded them, and it's two clowns.
Jones and Mego.
One looks extremely upset, and the other one looks intrigued.
On WEEI.
Got it all. There's a pop-up left side. Back goes the shortstop, third baseman, left fielder, and the catch is made. There's a collision.
Oh, boy.
And Tyler O'Neill seems to be hurt. And also down is Rafaela. They're both on the ground now. Tyler O'Neill's in a seated position. And
yeah,
Rafaela still face down.
I think took a hit in the head.
And they want right away. They're calling for trainers
and
towels.
Yeah, I think he's bleeding. I think, yes, he's bleeding from the forehead, it looks like.
This is so tough. With the red. It's Rafi. Rafi hit his head. It's Rafi and O'Neill. That's a major collision between those two.
Meanwhile, these bozos clunking into each other yesterday. Rafael Devers and Tyler O'Neill. Red Sox defense has been atrocious. We'll talk to Brad Fo about it coming up less than 10 minutes from now here on Jones and Mego with Arcan. Ryan just told me in my ear, Devers is in the lineup tonight?
Yes. Batting second.
It's good. Who's he going to run over tonight? Is he at third base again?
Yes.
He is?
He is.
I mean,
Jaren Duran's in left field.
Beep, beep. Watch out. He's backing up that dumper.
Look out, Jaren. I mean, I guess I ask if he's at third base. Like, where the hell else are you going to play him? You know, like, where are you going to play him? You can move him to DH, but then what's going on with Yoshida? So there's a log jam. Defensively, they're atrocious. I thought, like, I wasn't buying it in the offseason, the narrative that they're going to be better defensively. But then I saw it early in the year. I'm like, look at Rafaela. Look at Duran in left. That seems like an improvement. You know, Trevor Story was a part of that calculus, if I'm being fair. Watching him at shortstop, I'm like, oh, look, they are better defensively. And then you see how they played over the last handful of games, really since they got back to Fenway Park, or it started at the tail end of that trip in L.A. against the Angels. They've been abysmal. I was reading Tomasi. He says, the body language of Red Sox players is off, shoulders slump. Here we go again. And it's reflected by the fans in the stands, which, you know, 33,000 there yesterday. Tickets sold anyway. I don't know how many were actually there. But they still couldn't sell it out on Patriots.
It wasn't a sellout, that's for
no,
sure.
It
was a good crowd, but it wasn't sold
out. Yeah, you were there. So, yeah. So, I mean, they sold 33,000.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, was it so loud they couldn't hear each other clunking into each other, as Cora claimed after the game?
The other team was saying that. Cleveland was saying that. So, maybe, but I mean...
Cleveland said it was so loud they couldn't hear?
They had to really yell to, like, hear each other. And that was something they were talking about after the game. So, I mean, maybe they were really doing that, maybe they weren't. But it didn't seem like it was like an overwhelmingly loud, holy crap, I can't believe how loud it is in here type of game.
You've been to plenty of Red Sox games. I mean, was it unusual?
No.
Okay.
I didn't find it unusual.
Because it sounds like a weird excuse in early April.
I don't get how anybody's...
But the other team was saying it too.
I don't get how anybody's ever made any plays in the postseason for the Red Sox ever, given how a loud ballpark can throw you off. Tomasi wrote, they now have allowed 19 earned runs, most in baseball. They're also first in errors with 17. And their bottom seven in double plays, I don't care about that.
Did you say unearned runs?
That's what I meant to say. Okay. 19 unearned runs and first in errors. So you can jump in on all that. Again, we'll talk to Brad Fo here coming up in a moment. Devers back in the lineup, which feels dangerous, but at least they avoided that. He's not in concussion protocol. I guess he left without talking to reporters yesterday. Tyler O'Neill, do we have any update on him?
Yes.
We do.
We do. Alex Cora says Tyler O'Neill has cleared concussion protocol. He's going to sit today, sit tomorrow, and they hope to have him back in the lineup on Thursday.
Okay, well, that's relatively good. But still, you got to figure it out for an offense that couldn't score yesterday. You got to figure it out for a couple of days without your hottest hitter. One of the hottest hitters in the big leagues, by the way. Gary's in the car on our Patriots conversation. Go ahead, Gary.
All right, Jones. Stick with me and don't hang up on me like you did last week. Ready?
Okay, well, I mean, it depends on your point, Gary, but go ahead.
Ready? Okay, take the first pick in the second round, right? Take your first pick next year, trade up into 6, 7, 8, 9. If you think the draft, how would it unfold? If you take Harrison at 3, the Bears probably take a lineman because they don't need a quarterback. Giants take Drake May at 5, and then you're at 6, 7, 8, 9. You move up and get McCarthy. As a Patriots fan, you would be friggin' lucky to get J.J. McCarthy and Marvin Harrison. But Kraft will screw this up.
Okay, so I don't like this approach. And just to break it down, I don't think you're gonna get back into the top 10 with a second round pick and a future first. I don't think. I think you're gonna need more draft capital to do it. But I would also not execute the plan the way he did. And Gary, if you keep calling with this suggestion, we're gonna keep probably answering it the same way. What I would do is take the quarterback at 3 and then try to get the receiver in the top 10. If you were gonna trade back into the top 10. I would get the quarterback at 3 and then try to get a Dunze or somebody elsewhere in the top 10. That's how I would break that down. I wouldn't pass on the quarterback, take Harrison, and then take a lesser quarterback later in the top 10. That's not what I would do. Like, if you're taking Harrison at 3, I guess then you try to get Penix top of the second round or trade late into the first
round.
I
really don't care for most of these ideas where the quarterback is the afterthought in your draft.
Right.
I don't respond well to that. I'm sorry. I don't.
I like phrasing it that way. I don't respond well to that.
You guys just don't like anything that's not Drake May at 3. That's really
I mean,
all
that's
it is. You don't like
true.
Anything at all
yeah.
that's not Drake May.
I like Jaden Daniels at 3.
All right, fine. But I mean, assuming that Daniels
I'd
goes
take,
to Washington.
I'd take Caleb Williams
you
at 3.
You guys want Drake
May. You could talk. I've said this before. Like, if.
Realistically.
You could talk me into J.J. McCarthy in a Hall.
Not me.
But I don't think you should take J.J. McCarthy at 3. I think that's really
what?
A major overdraft.
Why do I have to like more than 3 quarterbacks? They're drafting 3rd. Why do I have to like more than 3?
I didn't say you had to like anything. I'm just saying that it seems like, since it's pretty clear right now that Williams is going 1 and Daniels is going 2, you guys only want May at 3 and you don't want any.
Well,
you don't want to entertain anything else.
I would say that we're much more open-minded than the guy who says he hates all the quarterbacks except for Bo Nix.
Yeah, at least we answer the question. You just don't like anything.
What do you mean? I answer the question every single time you ask me. I say I don't really care for any of these quarterbacks. I would trade back, or I'd get a wide receiver, or I'd do something else. I'm much more flexible than you are. All you want to do is Drake May.
I didn't hear a name. No. I'll take Michael Penix,
Bo Nix. I would take either one of those two, or I would defer to next year, and I'd wait and get my quarterback next year
See?
With a better
That's
pick.
That's the afterthought.
That's not an afterthought. That's deferring it to next year. No,
okay,
it isn't.
Okay, who do you like in next year's draft?
There's a couple of guys that
Say
I like.
It.
Shadur Sanders.
There it is.
Okay.
There's one right there.
There it is. That's what he.
And also, let's see how the season goes before we start talking about who you like in next year's draft.
You're
I don't know.
The one talking about next year's draft.
You brought up next year's draft.
I know, but we got to see how the season goes. I imagine that there's probably going to be some quarterbacks next year. Don't you think? I mean, quarterbacks are pretty valuable these days, wouldn't you say? I'd say that
I
whoever
so,
it is, you're probably
going to
have some guys there.
I think so in this draft.
Yeah,
no,
you're the one who hates quarterbacks.
You're the one who said that you don't like any of these quarterbacks.
Not on this team. No, I don't.
You're the one who hates quarterbacks, but they are valuable.
Except for Shadur Sanders.
He did just acknowledge quarterbacks are valuable, which is big of him to admit. We did get him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline, as he does each and every Tuesday at 4:30, is Rob Bradford of WEEI, the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. He's presented by McFarlane Energy, Mego.
McFarlane.
Parkin.
Farlin.
The region's most dependable provider of home heating oil, including BioHeat, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlaneEnergy.com. Bradford, how are we doing this week?
You know who I like at number 3?
Who's
I like
that?
Nick Kurtz out of Wake Forest.
Why is that?
Oh, I thought we were talking about the MLB draft.
Oh, I thought
I got my draft mixed up.
I thought this was another NFL prospect you gave a Baseball Isn't Boring sticker to, like you did with Marvin Harrison.
Listen, I was very strategic. I knew right when I gave him that T-shirt, Marvin Harrison Jr., of course, that he should have been the pick, and I'm digging in on that. Marvin Harrison Jr. to the podium wearing the Baseball Isn't Boring T-shirt. Let's go.
Bradfo, has anyone ever turned down a piece of Baseball Isn't Boring apparel?
Yes.
Who turned it down?
You're going to be shocked to hear who did. It was Joey Votto.
Wow.
Joey Votto.
He's Baseball is boring, actually.
No, he said, I don't need a T-shirt to tell me that. Well, okay. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I'm trying to give you a free T-shirt.
I thought Canadians were supposed to be nice. That's the rudest Canadian I've ever heard of.
He is not. He's just a little bit different. He's nice. He's just a little. He's the type of guy I kind of like, which you ask him a question and he makes you work for it. And he gives you an answer that you didn't expect. So, yeah,
he plays hard to get.
I like those guys. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Bradfo likes a little hard to get, which is how the Red
Sox. He
likes
the chase.
Yeah, it's how the Red Sox play defense. Everything is hard for them to get. How much of the poor fundamentals, not backing up bases, not throwing to the right bases, we've seen this last year with this Red Sox team. It's continuing again this year. How much of the lack of fundamentals, defensive miscues are on Cora?
I don't think there's a lot on Cora. I think it's a lot on the level of talent you have on the roster and the level of experience you have on the roster. You look at these guys who are making these mistakes. Once they make a mistake, it's like they're clinched. I mean, they are like worrying about the next mistake. They certainly haven't proven themselves enough defensively at the major league level to say it's no big deal. And I think it sort of spirals. And really, you look at and we keep coming back to Trevor Story, but I'm going to keep coming back to Trevor Story. Trevor Story was the perfect example of what you needed to make that defense better. He was a really good defensive player that was protecting you second base and third base. I saw it in spring training over and over again. I saw it in the first week of the season. And once he left, everything sort of got all out of whack. And I'm not saying that's the only reason, but that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, though, Adam. Like, the thing is that Look at the guys who are making mistakes. They're not the guys. These guys haven't been in the major leagues long. And
Rafael Devers has been in the league for a long time. He's running people over.
Well, I mean, he's not a good – we all know that he – first of all, he's not a good defensive player. And second of all, we also know that when he gets in the wrong mindset defensively, he goes from decent to not good at all. And that goes back to Story. He was – this was the whole deal.
So
Trevor Story was going to help Rafael Devers be better, and he was better when Story was there. And then Story left, and all of a sudden, Devers reverted back to what he was for the last 4 months of the season.
So zeros on Cora?
No, I don't say zero. You have to put something on the coaching staff or the manager. But it's not like, you know, I don't – the Cora thing I don't get. Like, I don't get, like, what do you want him to do? Like,
have his guys back up bases and throw to the proper base and, like, defensively in the right position.
I'm sitting there literally watching the watch, like, literally 5 minutes ago. I've watched every day. I watch every day in spring training. And – they go through these drills every day, and these guys are supposed to all understand that. And so when these guys get out there for whatever reason, and I think, once again, I think it's because of the level of player and the level of experience that you have, they're making the wrong move. When you don't cover second on that play the other day that let the guy go to second base, then, I mean, it's like that's not Alex Cora saying, oh, my goodness, we didn't drill this in. We didn't tell you where to go. They're supposed to know that, but they don't know that because – for whatever reason, the game's speeding up on them, and they're in the major leagues making mistakes.
Brad Foe, the other day, Kenley Jansen had some comments after the game about how embarrassing the MLB's slippery balls are and that it's a major issue. Is that an issue that you've heard from any other pitchers about these embarrassing slippery balls?
Yes. Yeah, I have heard that. I mean, we had them. I had, you know, remember the first time I heard it was last year, actually. It was Matt Strom was on the podcast, and he was talking about how whack the balls were. And then you hear it from other pitches. I heard it from, you know, Garrett Cole and Adam Ottavino. And you know, it's been a constant problem. The problem that doesn't look good for Kenley is, you know, when you get to the end of the game and you don't perform at the end of the game after these other pitchers have pitched with the same sort of baseballs, that's not a good look. I don't doubt he believes that this is going on, and I believe that this is an issue. But you just can't, you know, it's just a bad luck for Kenley. It just is. I think that for me, for Kenley, like I obviously like Kenley. He's good for business. I think he's a good guy. But for me, for Kenley, I relate him back to a lot. He's got a lot of Ortiz in him in the sense of he just can't help himself. Like he is a genuine guy who speaks his mind. And a lot of times, that's the way Ortiz was. And a lot of times, Ortiz were getting in trouble because, remember, barging in the room to look for his RBI.
Yep.
You know? But it's I see a lot of the same sort of the personality traits, which we like a lot of times. But then, at the same time, you're going to be criticized once in a while for it.
Brad Foe, the defense, I think, is taking a lot of the spotlight away from the fact that this bullpen hasn't been great lately, and it's costing these starters wins, decisions, really, in a lot of cases. What do you think the current state of the bullpen is right now, and where do you think it's kind of going?
Oh, I think that, number one, this goes back to the defense. The starters aren't going deep enough overall. I'm not, every once in a while they are, but overall they aren't, and that's because you're giving extra outs. So you're extending the bullpen a little bit more. And then also, when you're having this bullpen, these guys like Weissert or, you know, Isaiah Campbell before him, these guys are guys that you're trying to figure out are good. Like, they're good in spring training. They're good in the first week of the season. But you don't know over the long haul if they're good. So they're trying to figure out who goes where. Justin Slayton's really good so far. All right, check that one off. Chris Martin, if he's healthy, but he's not healthy, he would be good. Kenley Jansen, you think that if he gets a little, you know, gets things right a little bit, he'll be okay. But the rest of the bullpen is reliant on not being thrown out there too much, kind of like they are now, I think. And also, just not, you need some certainty. You have to pay for certainty every once in a while. We saw that with Martin and Jansen last year.
Bradford, were you surprised to hear that John Henry and Tom Werner were not attending the Larry Lucchino's funeral last Thursday?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that, you know, I know that they came out and said what Werner was overseas and Henry was sick or whatever, but it's certainly a bad luck considering what Larry Lucchino meant for those guys. those guys' legacy, and maybe they had a falling out. I don't know. But still, I mean, that Larry Lucchino was really, really important to helping build those two guys what they are to today. So, you know, that's it's disconcerting. I mean, there's no question about it. And I think that what I would have liked to see, if you legitimately couldn't make it for whatever reason, don't give me the comment in the press release lumped in with 15 other comments about Larry Lucchino. Give me a legitimate video. Hey, I'm sorry I can't make it. This is what it means. Something along those lines. And it just was like, oh, you know what? Someone else is going to have to say that we weren't there, and we're going to hope that it blows on by. But, yeah, it wasn't a good look.
Is there any possibility, Brad Folk, because I was shocked to hear this on Sunday morning. I was shocked to read. I think it was McAdam had it first. Is there any possibility maybe that, like, I don't know, the Lucchinos didn't want them there or something, and this was their way? Because I can't really imagine that they would be so just out of it and out of touch to not show up at something like that.
I mean, there's always that possibility, but though I'll say this, Linda Pizzuti was there,
yeah.
Right? So
Theo
so
was there, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, Theo was there, and you remember, you know, you remember the controversy between those two,
yeah.
and the falling out you had between those two, and I don't think that certainly by the end they were best buddies by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think Theo understood sort of how important Larry Lucchino was to his career and his existence. So Christian, to answer your question, that could be the case, but the fact that Linda Bizzuti's there, that would suggest that wasn't.
Was John Sterling ever on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast?
No. But I did have today, I love talking about John Sterling because this is my take on John Sterling. He said, yeah, you know, social media sort of amped up everyone's recognition of John Sterling with the home run calls and maybe even the missed calls, but he was unique. And this is, you know, I had Sweeney Murdy on the podcast today talking about him. And one of the things that we both said is that guys are afraid to be unique anymore. You know, John Sterling was what he was, right? And it is what it is. And he had the home run calls, the goofy nicknames and everything else. And he was a fan of the team and whatever, but he was unique. And I get the sense with a lot of broadcasters that they're just they're petrified that they're going to break off from broadcasting school 101. And John Sterling wasn't that way. Joe Castiglione isn't that way. Will Fleming isn't that way. So, I mean, so it's okay. But I see more and more of these people coming up worrying about voice inflection and what the other broadcaster is going to say. John Sterling was never that way.
All right, he's Rob Bradford. You can check him out each and every week here on Jones and Mega with Arcan at 4:30. You can also check out the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. Bradford, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right, I'll talk to you guys later. See you.
All right, Rob Bradford, as all our guests, joins us on the Harbor One hotline.
How do you like that? Higashioka, the home run stroker.
Nice.
I mean, it's a... Yeah. I never listened to a ton of John Sterling and Susan Waldman until I was working in Connecticut at the time, doing a lot of driving back and forth. And I would listen to a lot of FAN, and I would listen to a lot of Yankees broadcasts. I know they weren't on FAN, but I would listen to Yankees broadcasts as well when I was commuting. And I went from thinking, because you would just hear the clips, I went from thinking, oh, this guy's corny, which he is.
Hicks hits one to the sticks.
But when you only hear the highlights, you only hear like the cornball phrase. Like, it's a pretty entertaining broadcast.
It is.
Like start to finish, it's a pretty entertaining broadcast, which I grew to respect.
It is Gleyber Day.
You also portrayed him in a radio bit.
I did. Yeah,
that went very viral.
No, that's true. Well, that was after I had started to grow some respect for him. But yeah, but that was baseball losing unique broadcasters like that. Professional sports, Gorman would be another one. You know, losing unique broadcasters like that is not ideal. It's something we can talk to Scal about tomorrow. Mego, you can pepper him with more questions about your guy there, Drew Carter. I'm sure we can do that. Scal always loves answering those questions.
He does.
But, you know, I think that's the fear, is losing.
I think it's cute. He's very protective.
He is. But
he's like, that's my guy.
That's the
and
fear.
I'm like, yeah, I like
you can't
it.
Handle the truth.
I like the duo of you two, like, out on the town together. I don't know why this is so hard for you to understand.
But if we're being honest, that's what we're all fearful of.
I want it to be like a reality show.
Okay, but we're fearful of that. We're fearful of, like, losing a unique broadcaster for a cookie-cutter broadcaster.
But he's going to become more himself as he does it longer.
He might. But I think that's the fear. The fear is that we've lost that now, and I'm sure Yankees
you
fans feel the same
Syracuse.
Way. I do. No, I absolutely 1,000%
And I just like have I have no feelings about them. It's not like they're UConn or someone obnoxious. Like, I just don't have that many feelings about
Syracuse.
No, you
don't care. No, you don't care that much about Drew Carter. You just ask about him every week. And
no,
so
him and Scal.
Yankees fans, to me, are losing what, you know, Celtics fans are losing in Gorman, and like, that's the fear.
What if we threw Scal and Drew Carter into, like, a summer house situation on Bravo?
I'd watch.
Yeah, you would watch.
Scal's just out on the tractor.
Yeah. Just pounding Coors Lights.
Watching junior, scouting junior high basketball games.
Drew's 617. Coming home at 4 a.m.
617-779-7937. We have more of your feedback here coming up. And what do we have in Triple Play?
It's an over-under Tuesday. We got Red Sox, Celtics, Bruins, and we'll find out about your fashion decisions as well.
Okay, that's next.
It's going to be a Triple Play.
It's time for the Triple Play.
Yes, Triple Play.
The top three burning questions of the day.
And there's three.
With Jones and Mego.
Triples is best. Triples is best.
Triples is best. Triples makes it safe. And the Shaw's and Star Market Grand Slam Summer Sweepstakes is back. This is your chance to win free groceries for a year, plus other incredible Boston sports and concert prize experiences. To enter, check your receipt for entry codes when you spend $50 or more. Official rules at GrandSlamSummerSweeps.com. It's an over-under Tuesday, Jones and Mego. So let's get to our over-unders.
Number one.
Question.
Yes.
Is there going to be any new seasons of that stupid show?
Of I Think You Should Leave?
Yeah.
I think they're working on one right now.
I think he's working on a different show is what I had seen. I think he's working on a whole different show. But he might be working on a new season of I Think You Should Leave as well.
Another sketch show? Or he's doing like something more dramatic?
I don't think it's dramatic, but I think it's a different endeavor, I think. But no, I would hope they do another season of that. Mego says it's stupid. That's your second
stupid.
Your second worst take of the day, aside from calling a filet mignon a chick steak, which is getting that take is just getting slaughtered in the unofficial show poll.
Not really. 66% say no.
Okay, so 2/3.
So 34%.
So 2/3 think you're wrong. Right.
If this was a Jones poll, this would be like you'd be like a whole 34% of people say it's a girl steak.
2/3 think you're wrong.
Still be getting smoked.
What's our question?
Here's your first over-under, which is, Mego, which team is going to lose more playoff games this year? The Celtics, over-under, the Bruins. Who will lose more playoff
games? Okay, this is a great question because I know the little trick you're trying to pull.
I am.
Which is that the Celtics are going to go further, meaning they're going to lose more games than the Bruins because I think the Bruins don't make it past the second round. The Celtics go all the way to the finals, but they're going to have at least one series in that stretch on the way to the Eastern Conference Finals, maybe including the Eastern Conference Finals, in which a series goes way too long, and they're going to lose some games that they shouldn't lose. So narrowly, I think it's the Celtics.
Bruins are going to lose more. They're going to lose like 6 or 7 games. The Celtics won't lose that many. Whole postseason run. Bruins are going to get out of the first round. I don't care if it's Tampa. I've already picked them to get out of the first round. I did that a long time ago. Toronto's a much easier way to do it. So I think the Bruins are going to lose more than 4 games. If the Bruins are knocked out in the first round, then the answer is clearly the Celtics because they're going to go on a much deeper run. But I don't think the Celtics are going to lose that many games en route to an NBA championship, so I will say the Bruins lose more games.
All right, let's get to our second over-under.
Number two.
All right, Jones, we'll start with you here. The Red Sox are currently 9-8 with 10 remaining games. Excuse me, they got more than that. They got 6 against Cleveland, 3 against Pittsburgh, 3 against Chicago, and 1 against San Francisco. They're 9-8 right now to finish the month. Will they finish the month over or under 500?
Oh, over. They're going to finish the year over 500, Arcan. They're on pace for 86 wins.
That's not the question.
Okay.
I'm talking about this month.
I understand. I answered it already. I already said yes, both of you. They're going to finish the year over 500. They're definitely going to finish this month over 500. Over. Yes.
I actually take over, too. I think it's going to be pretty close. Like, I think that they split that 6 with Cleveland, take the series against Pittsburgh, probably win the series against the Cubs.
Pittsburgh's like the best team in the league, right?
I know, but they always do. We just talked about this the other day. They always do that in April. Again,
the Red Sox just
April,
got their ass kicked by the Guardians, who they have to play 6 more times.
Maybe then they'll lose to San Francisco, mix those up somehow. But yeah, I think it'll be like 7-5 or something like
that. The Guardians,
that.
7-6, I mean. This may weaken my argument, but the Guardians, by the way, have a better record than Pittsburgh, who you're trumpeting over there.
Sure.
So look,
and they both have better records than the Red Sox.
Yeah, that's fine. Answer your own question. Red Sox over, under 500?
Under. I think like 3 or 4 games under. I think they're going to have a tough rest of the month. I think they're going to have a tough 6 games
hater
against
Cleveland.
Wow, move over, Mark.
They might go like 2-4 the rest of these 6 against Cleveland. And I think Pittsburgh, they're going to have trouble with them.
Move over, Mego. New Red Sox hater in town.
This month, yes. All right, let's get to our third over under.
He's mad because he has to work the game and work our show. That's why he's anti-Red Sox right now.
Working more than you again. Here we go. How many pieces of Boston sports-related clothing do you own, hats included, Mego, over under 6.5? Articles of Boston sports related clothing.
6.5?
Okay, so I had to be totally honest. I think it's under, but I'm not sure because
you're over. You're wearing a piece today.
What are you talking about?
Weren't you wearing like a sitco?
This is Fenway. Is this considered
Boston sports related?
Boston sports.
Yes.
The ballpark the Red Sox play in? Yes, that's Boston sports.
Yeah, but I didn't buy it from Fenway. I bought it from a little store.
I didn't say where you bought it. I said Boston sports related clothing.
So I think
I'll get you money either way.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that it may be over because of the amount of free hats that we get. And if you remember, like, the stretch were covering the Celtics during the Eastern Conference playoff runs, they'd always give you new shirts. Do you remember this? In the press box, they always give you a new, like, they always put out free T-shirts.
Home?
Hell yeah, those are my sleep shirts.
I don't.
Those shirts are always, like, XXL, and I just wear them around my house with no pants on.
I would never. So you're clearly over. You're hemming and hawing, like, maybe I'm over.
You don't take free T-shirts? No. I've taken free T-shirts from here, and they're not even good.
Do you ever see me walk home with free T-shirts from this place? You two.
Yeah, and what
you
do
two
I?
Like,
I know.
You two, like, fight over free stuff
this
here. Do you ever see
I
me take anything
to
free
the
home?
Side, and I'm like, Arcan, no, that's mine. Don't take it.
I've worked in radio long enough. I have plenty of free T-shirts, and I never take anything from home.
How many have I bought,
under 6.5.
How many pieces have I bought?
Well, there's at least 2 you, like, special ordered.
Yeah, I think only 3, maybe.
We know Jones has the pink hat. We know he has the Marcus Smart jersey.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only 2 I can think of that I know for sure that you have. What else do you have?
There's a Celtics hat that I have.
A Celtics, that's 3.
That was sent to me by a promotion from Jack Savvy years ago. I think that's it. I'm not sure.
You have
I own
Bruins apparel?
No.
No Patriots?
No.
Oh, yeah, I got some free Patriot stuff.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Wow.
Such
a bummer of you.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't.
I love free stuff.
I went out and purchased that pink hat the other day. That was an actual item. That's an actual, maybe the staple of Boston sports clothing I have.
When I get something for free, like promotional, it actually means more to me than if I go out and buy something.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
No.
I'm like, this is special. I got it for free.
I have 6 Larry Bird T-shirts. I'm not kidding. I have a Celtics one.
Arcan is almost over on just Larry Bird.
The high school, I got this like psychedelic Larry Bird T-shirt. I have 6 Larry Bird T-shirts. I have the one where he's choking Dr. J. Like I have, I clear this just with Larry Bird related stuff. So yes, over for me. In case anyone was wondering,
I don't think anybody's surprised.
Next week, I'll wear a different Larry Bird shirt.
I wanted to say something. You know what I was going to ask? I don't think this should count, but maybe it does. What about the T-shirt Ryan got me for my birthday? The Marcus Smart T-shirt. With his face on it.
Oh,
technically,
yeah. Okay, that's the you own him, so that's 4.
If my sweater counts, that counts.
But it was like Grizzlies colors.
It is a Grizzlies.
Yeah, so like I don't know if that I
wanted you to be able to have current fandom.
I think I'll still count it. I'm still under, but that's a fourth piece of attire, and half of it is Marcus Smart related.
You're a Packers fan, right?
That's what I wanted to ask. So we're counting the Marcus Smart Grizzlies T-shirt?
I guess.
I think we should count.
I also got Arcan the Larry Bird shirt for Christmas.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
So is that 7?
Wow.
It's 7.
How about Arcan? You don't even remember
Larry
it?
What Larry Bird shirt was it?
Wow, what'd you do with it? Throw it away?
I don't know.
You're being so rude.
It's a Christmas gift.
I don't remember it.
Oh, my God. Wow. I remember it.
Which Larry Bird shirt is it? I have a lot of Larry Bird shirts.
I worked so many days this week, guys. I can't remember anymore.
Ryan got me a Dog Mom shirt, and it fits me extremely well. So I'd like to know where you got that T-shirt, because I want more T-shirts.
I think I was at the mall.
Oh, okay. We'll go sometime.
Okay.
So, wow. Imagine this. You really legitimately should be very insulted by this. Arcan will wear anything Larry Bird related. You got the man a Larry Bird T-shirt for Christmas, and he doesn't even...
He doesn't appreciate things.
I remember him giving it to me, but I can't remember what it looks like.
Do you, though? You didn't seem to when he first brought it up.
Larry Bird.
Just a picture of him?
It's Larry Bird. It's like a neon green like a silhouette of Larry Bird shooting.
Look at him. He has
don't
no
get
idea.
Arcan anything.
He has no clue. Look at this.
He won't appreciate it. He doesn't
Larry
appreciate
Bird.
These
what
things.
A thought, Ryan. What a thoughtful gift.
No. I understand. It's fine.
So mean.
Honestly, it's like a
it didn't mean much to me either.
It's like Arcan's favorite thing. He got Arcan.
It is.
I got him his favorite
maybe
thing.
Maybe he's lost in a sea of Larry Bird T-shirt. You could have.
It's just in his backseat covered with napkins. Yeah,
I don't know what
you could have had a Larry Bird t-shirt for every day of the week.
I know. I guess I technically do. I just don't know where it is.
Now I know. I don't have to get him anything next year because he won't
probably
remember.
Right. Yeah.
Arcan disgusts me.
That's a low moment. That's honestly a low
You're
moment.
You're gross.
617.
No, it's fine.
779-7937.
Where is that shirt?
We can get probably in a garbage can somewhere.
I definitely
a dumpster.
He probably threw it in that box that's in the Jock Lounge with all the free t-shirts.
In fairness, I was drinking a lot around my birthday and Christmas, you remember.
Yeah, we know.
You know, I was partying that month, so.
You weren't working a lot.
It's a full month of partying.
That month. Yeah. Check Catholic's aunt's house. Well, we'll get to your phone calls here coming up. We'll get back to the Celtics
Hello?
As well. That's next.